Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, February 15th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in Bill's story. We're on page 3, the third full paragraph right there at the bottom of the page, beginning with, in 1929, I contracted golf fever, ending with, in and out of his till with amused skepticism. We are reading and commenting on just one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Kara L., who will be reading the text, Sherry V. will be reading page 164, and Vanessa G. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Sherry M., and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Wednesday, February 14th, 2024, is 21,137 or 21137. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,139 or 21139. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Lisa W. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, good morning, Stephanie. Thank you. I am Lisa W. from California, a compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could bring us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact natures of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa W. And I will now ask Patty F. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Patty, we need you to hit star 1, please. We can't hear you.
Sorry about that. This is Patty F. from Massachusetts. I'm a compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Patty F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, we ask that everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 3. We're in Bill's story. We're reading the third full paragraph, or that bottom paragraph that begins with, in 1929, I contracted golf fever, ending with, in and out of his till with amused skepticism. We are reading and commenting on just one paragraph this morning, and I will now ask Kara L. to please begin reading.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered and compulsive overeater from California. In 1929, I contracted golf fever. We went at once to the country, my wife to applaud why I started out to overtake Walter Hagen. Liquor caught up with me much faster than I came up behind Walter. I began to be jittery in the morning. Golf permitted drinking every day and every night. It was fun to caroom around the exclusive course which had inspired such awe in me as a lad. I acquired the impeccable coat of tan one sees upon the well-to-do. The local baker watched me whirl fat checks in and out of his till with amused skepticism. Good morning. I'm Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. And, you know, as we're reading Bill's story here, you know, we're seeing the progression of Bill's disease. And when I relate it back to myself, I love the piece that says, you know, golf permitted drinking. And why? And I said, how many things in my life did I do because of permitted eating, right? Everything was around food. Oh, you know, I'll meet you here and I'll do this, because then I could get some vicarious pleasure out of whatever we were going to eat, right? I'll do that. And, you know, when I read this, it reminds me of, like, I'm living the high life and I'm going to come crashing down, and we'll see that later on that Bill does, right? Meanwhile, I'm starting to, in the morning, it says Bill became jittery. I'm living the high life, but waking up in the morning remorseful with a new, you know, I will do better today. And then continuously compulsively eat. And when I look back to my own story of compulsively eating, the time that I had it all under control, that I thought I could diet and I'll just take off the weight, or I got down to a certain weight and I was invincible, right? And inevitably, that invincibility disappeared as I continued to compulsively overeat. The only thing that brought me any kind of freedom was my connection with my higher power, was letting go absolutely that I knew what was best for myself and asking a power greater than myself to restore me to sanity. And how I got there is I worked these steps, and the steps led me there. And I'm ever so grateful for that today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you so much, Kara L. And we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. If you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. When you hear the timer, please finish up promptly so we can give others a chance to share too. So if you could please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from, who would like to share?
Teresa C., New Jersey.
I've got you, Teresa C.
Sherry C., Los Angeles.
Gotcha, Sherry. Who else would like to get in on this first round?
Robin T., Massachusetts.
All right, Robin P.
And,
not yet.
And B., New York.
I've got you, Ann B. in New York.
Veronica B.
California.
I think I heard Veronica B.
Yes.
And then I think I heard Larry G.
California. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. All right, anyone else? Because we got a good starting list here. So I've got Teresa C., Sherry Z., Robin P., Ann B., Veronica B., and Larry G. We'll start with Teresa C., followed by Sherry Z. Please remind us where you're calling from. And Teresa, you're up.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Teresa C. from New Jersey. I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict in recovery for today. I was thinking about as we read this paragraph was this whole thing about, you know, looking for that acceptance, looking to fill that hole with outside things. This is about, you know, nothing to do with his higher power, any connection to spirituality. It's all about what's going on in this world. I noticed here it says we went at once to the country, and I know in Bill's story it's like we go to the city, we go to the country, we go to another, we go to Canada, you know, he does all the geographics looking for that validation that he's okay. And, you know, that's what I've done too, just looking for that validation outside myself. And, you know, whole with food until I came to 12 steps and particularly the vision manner of reading the big book and knowing that the big book had the solution for me and understanding that that solution really is a spiritual one. And with that spiritual connection comes that feeling of peace and acceptance from my connection with my higher power, and that just flows over into my connections with other people, which is really all I've ever really wanted. So I guess with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Teresa C. And next up, we've got Sherry Z, followed by Robin P.
Good morning, Visionary. Thank you, Stephanie, for your service, and thank you, Cara, for that beautiful opening. I'm Sherry Z, recovered in California, and I too identified with all the things I did to get vicarious pleasure and outside affirmation. I'm struck that the paragraph before, he's a lone wolf, and the next paragraph, he's Mr. Popularity on the golf course. And for me, I identified with the roller coaster of the disease. And it's like, I'm high, 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 then I'm low, low, low. And everything is going great and everything is not going great. It's this extreme sort of searching for validation, and then I need to be completely isolated. It was nothing in the balance. And what I found in these rooms and in vision was, you know, I don't have to search for that outside validation, even though I still want it. Oh boy, do I still sometimes want it. But I can live balanced. My food can be balanced. My body can be the same weight. I can live with very little drama in my marriage. I can be present for my children. And all of that comes down to not needing that roller coaster ride, which I did need because of 100 reasons, because I grew up in a family of crisis. And the roller coasters was how you knew you were in love. The more crisis, the more love, or in its own messed up way. But for today, I don't have to be a lone wolf. I don't have to be the belle of the ball on the golf cart. And as a result, people don't see me like a crazy person, which they did before, up, down, up, down. They see me as a shore to lean on, a quiet place, a restful place. And I see it with my children. I'm the quiet landing because they know what to expect and they can rely upon it. And I'm so grateful to God today for having that balance, but being in alignment. So thank you all, and I look forward to hearing the rest of the shares.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry Z from California. Next up, we've got Robin P, followed by Ann B.
Good morning. Hi there, everyone. This is Robin T, like Tom, actually, from Massachusetts, recovered compulsive overeater. And, wow, it was all about control for me, and I still battle with that every day. excuse me. You know, I just didn't know any better, and food was something I could control, or so I thought I could, because food solved my problem. My problem was my emotions. And, you know, I grew up in a household where my mom said, keep a low profile. Well, I didn't want to keep a low profile. I wanted to be seen. And I did everything I could to be seen after, you know, I left my mother's home and started growing up into an adult. And I pursued things where I could be seen, where my ego could be filled. And then, wow. I've arrived, look at me. But no matter what, whether I arrived or not, I ate. Because eating calmed me down. Eating solved any confusion I had, any questions I had, any doubt I had. I could relax. I could numb myself. Eating was my wonderful drug of choice. And it for a good many years, it was extremely enjoyable. Until my body finally said, this isn't working for you anymore, Robin. It's just not happening. So then what do? Then I'm still eating because I have no other solution. And it took me quite a while, a few years now, to understand that the solution is a power greater than myself and greater than any of us. And to invite that in every single morning and say, God, I'm here. I'm offering myself to you. Please help me because I can't do it by myself today. That's the greatest gift in the whole world. And then having all of you to call, to do outreach with and connect with, that too brings God into my life. And I'm so grateful for all of you and this program. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And that's Robin T, as in Tom. Sorry about that, Robin. And Robin's in Massachusetts. Next, we have Ann B, followed by Veronica B.
Hello, this is Ann B. I'm a compulsive overeater from Westchester United Intergroup in New York. And I don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent 19 years. And what's coming back to me from this reading is when I went to the reception after my cousin's wife's funeral, and all I could think about was the food table, you know, and I had to search for it because it was not in the main room, and I had to go off, and then there wasn't that much selection, and I was horribly disappointed. And, you know, I think back on that, and it's like, you know, my cousin's wife had tragically died of cancer, right? Was that important to me? No. What was important to me was food, right? And I it wasn't like I was thin or anything or starving. You know? And I just, that idea that even at a funeral, right, there would be just food, right? So that's what was coming up. And I look back on that with, you know, with shame, you know, and I know that, you know, you can't change what you did in the past, but I just, one of the things I've learned in program is how important it is when you go to a social event to focus on the people rather than the food. And I will pass.
Well, thank you so much, Ann B. from New York. Next up, Veronica B., followed by Larry G.
Hey, good morning. I'm Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater in California. And thank you so much for your service. This morning, liquor caught up with me much faster than I came up behind Walter. Well, my experience with my compulsive eating is it got progressively worse for me. And I discovered eating and throwing up when I was about 15 years old. And I had found my solution to my problem, because my whole life, I remember feeling uncomfortable in my own skin, feeling that I had to please everybody, feeling like I had to do whatever you needed me to do for you to like me, to approve of me. And as a result, I felt uncomfortable. I felt like I always had to prove myself, and I just couldn't be myself. Really, bottom line, like I couldn't be myself. And so when I discovered food, I like that just like took that away for a little while, you know. And coming into Overeaters Anonymous, I had to learn a whole way of living abstinent without going to the food. I had to learn a new normal in how to eat, the proper portioning. I had to learn about the allergy of the body. And more importantly, this malady that I have of, you know, not feeling okay being myself. Like, that's really what brought me into the rooms. You know, I just wanted to be okay with being myself, you know. And so I started working these steps, and I got a relationship with the God of my understanding. And this God that I have today in my life gives me all the validation that I need. But I have to seek him every day, multiple times throughout the day, because I still worry about what people think about me. I still do the compare and despair. You know, this is why they say, like, this is a practice for me today to seek God, to ask for help, you know, to do God's will, keep asking God, God, what is your will for me? You know, show me where you want me today. Show me where you want me to be of service. It's really a way of life. And I cannot do it on my own. I cannot live this beautiful way of life on my own. I need God's help. I need to be in the middle of Overeaters Anonymous. And it's just a beautiful life. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. Next up, Larry G.
Good morning. This is Larry G. from California. And thank you, everybody, on this call. You 12-step me, Monday through Friday, just with amazing shares. I yearn and long to have the kind of abstinence like my recovery in AA. You could not waterboard me to get alcohol down. You'd have to waterboard me to for me to take a drink. But I would throw my abstinence on the bus for the next sugary treat. And when I came to a vision for you in May of 2020, I finally saw it was possible to have a black and white abstinence based on the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, like my AA recovery. When I came to a vision for you, my sponsor took me through the big book. And I never considered doing that in a way prior to a vision for you. Maybe I just, it was my addiction. It probably just wasn't ready. But, you know, today when we read these passages, these paragraphs like the one we read today, you know, I can see myself. I can identify with Bill W. The thought that Bill W. could overtake Walter Hagen is just a joke. It's laughable. Walter Hagen was like one of the top 25 golfers in all time, and he is the Tiger Woods of his day. And Bill W. is going to go out there and overtake Walter Hagen, and I identify with that grandiosity. I've had many aspirations that it's great to have aspirations in life. It's great to have goals, but those goals should be attainable, right? I would love to right now go try out the Chicago Cubs in spring training, but you know that's a joke. But I could play for a senior softball team here in Sacramento. I had a total knee replacement in December. And the reason I had a total knee replacement in December, I was going to backpack the Triple Crown, Pacific Crest Trail, Continental Divide, and Appalachia. Larry, why not? My sponsor said, why not you just hike a section? try a section first. And so I'm out there for the last 10 years backpacking at an excessive high weight, and I wear my cartilage down to the point where I'm bone to bone. There is a recent example of grandiosity, and I'm so appreciative. You know, I am the kind of person that has tried to wrest satisfaction out of life if only I manage well. That's the precedes the third step prayer, and it's gotten me in a lot of trouble. And today, I'm okay with being Larry, ordinary man with ordinary strengths and weaknesses. I'm not pushing myself. I had this knee operation, and I was in the pool this morning walking, and it started to stiffen up after 5 minutes. I got out. You know, prior, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, being excessively overweight, I would have, you know, done that until I hurt my knee. Anyway, thank you for your moderating, and I pass back to you.
Thank you so much, Larry G. from California. And before we get another lineup, I'm going to let you know where we're at if you've just joined us. We're in the big book. We are on page 3 in Bill's story. In that bottom paragraph that begins with, in 1929, I contracted golf fever, ending with, in and out of his till with amused skepticism. We're just sharing on that one paragraph this morning. And who would like to share? Please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Laura W.
Mo
from New Jersey. NDW.
I've got you, Laura W. I've got Mo H.
NDW.
One more time, was that Angie or Andy?
NDW.
Cindy. Sorry about that. Okay. Clean my ears out. Who else would like to share? Did I hear
Melinda
another voice
H.
in there? Melinda H.
Eliza L.
Was that Eliza L?
Diane H.
Okay, I think I heard Eliza L. and Diane H., and we'll hold there because that'll probably take us to the end. I've got Laura W., Mo H., Cindy W., Melinda H., I think it was Eliza L., and then Diane H., and please let us know where you're calling from. We'll start with Laura W., followed by Mo H.
Good morning, Stephanie. Hey, everyone. It's Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, this is, I can really relate to this. I wasn't around in 1929. I never contracted golf fever. But as an anorexic and exercise bulimic, I contracted exercise obsession. And, you know, hanging around, he hung around with people that allowed him to drink every day and every night. I think somebody's unmuted. It was socially acceptable to drink while golfing. Well, for me, I hung out with marathon runners and triathletes, and, you know, so it was socially acceptable. They didn't know I wasn't eating. You know, I mean, I still hang out with all these people. I still do this sport, but you know, I have a healthy food plan that maintains my weight. And it was fun to caram around with people. However, in the beginning, Bill had been obsessed with money. You know, he was so obsessed with money and market. But now alcohol has taken on, you know, liquor caught up with him, as he said. So alcohol has taken on a new importance. So alcohol is no longer used to celebrate for him. He has to have it now. So this is the progression of his disease. This is the allergy of the body that's catching up with him. He has so much denial, you know, oh, it's socially acceptable to drink while golfing. It's like somebody saying, I hear people say all the time, oh, I'm a better golfer when I drink. You know, I'm more relaxed. I'm a better. And I think, well, that's a great excuse. That's denial. You know, his attitude, he's got such ego and such inferiority complex, you know, and that's how I was. You know, they said we're egomaniacs with an inferiority complex. And, you know, I really can relate. You know, when you first read Bill's story, I was thinking, how can I relate to this guy? You know, first of all, I'm female. I didn't live back in that time. I don't like golf. But it's so interesting how the denial, delusion, defiance, and destruction of his disease was exactly the same as mine. So, you know, it's about identifying in, not trying to identify out for me. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura W. from New Jersey. Next up, Mo H., followed by Cindy W.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. Thanks for your service. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater and sugar addict here in Walnut Creek, California. Thank you, everyone, for your shares. I just always get so much out of them. Here we go again. He's doing another geographic. And I remember when I did a geographic, I moved from one house to another. And someone said to me, I was in the program at the time, and the program person said, well, now you're in a place where you have never compulsively eaten. And, you know, that will be, you know, a good start. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. And I had some relapses while I've been here in this residence. But what I wanted to focus on was golf permitted drinking every day and every night. When my brother and I were young and we did dance concerts, after every dance concert, my father, who was one of us, would take us out to the ice cream parlor there in Maryland. And I always looked forward to that. And it was something that just became a habit, that after we went to an event, we'd go to the dessert place. And so after I married my husband and he and I were going to see plays in San Francisco, and on the way home, he would just go right home. And one day I said to him, why don't we stop, you know, to enjoy ourselves at a, you know, whatever kind of restaurant was still open at that hour, you know, to have a treat. And he said, why do you want to eat at this hour? You know, it's like 11 o'clock at night. He was a normal person, normal eater. And I would say, oh, because my dad and I used to do that, and I really enjoyed that. And I was using that memory to feed my food addiction. And, you know, eventually when I got in the rooms and I understood that, you know, you don't eat after dinner, it's not necessary to be eating all this extra stuff, because that's when I did a lot of my eating, was after dinner and before bed. So, that came up when I was reading, listening to people's shares, you know, what permitted me to drink was, you know, going out and enjoying myself and then on the way home, stop and have a treat. So thanks, everybody, and have a good day. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Mo H. from California. Next up, Cindy W., followed by Melinda H.
Hi, this is Cindy W. I was going to say, this is the stage of the disease he describes, where you think, or at least I thought, it reminds me of when my stage of the disease where I thought I had a secret, and it made me like superhuman, and I was extra smart that I'd figure out this trick, and I had the world, whatever the phrase is, had it all figured out. I was flying, and everything was going my way, and it's the old pride before a fall stage. So it's a time period stage in the progression of the disease that he's at, where he's, I guess you could say, at his highest, but it's a high point followed by low points if you're truly a addict, alcoholic, food addict. That's it. Thank you.
Cindy, before you mute, can you tell us where you're calling from?
New Mexico.
New Mexico. Gotcha. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got Melinda H., followed by, I believe it's Eliza L.
Hi, this is Melinda H. from Virginia, and I definitely have eaten the way that Bill drank, and I have tried all kinds of tricks and places and just all manners of diets to stop the compulsive overeating. Like, I've had the desire to stop, you know, to not have the consequences. That's the main thing, not have the consequences of compulsive overeating. And it's taken all these years for me to finally be at a place where I'm willing to do all of the work, not just a little bit of the work. You know, the statement I think I heard today, God either is or God isn't. And so it means that I have to surrender, right? Because I'm a control freak, and I want to figure out how to get my way, whatever that is, in whatever situation. And it just doesn't work that way. The only thing that me controlling everything or trying to control everything does is ending up making me crazy or people around me crazy. Thanks for letting me share. Bye.
Well, thank you so much, Melinda H. from Virginia. Next up, Eliza L., followed by Diane H.
Hi, Eliza L., compulsive overeater in Dayton, Ohio. I hope I can be heard okay because I'm driving at the moment. But
we can hear you.
All right, thank you. So when I first heard this paragraph, really think that I could apply it to my life, but then I thought about it more with the idea that I had arrived, and I know that in my life that has made sense for me because I came through a really difficult, dark time. I was in an abusive, toxic marriage, and I got out of it, and I had to fight for custody of my kids, and I won custody of my kids, and so I got through this really dark time, and I got out of the isolation where my ex had basically made me lose all of my friends and tried to isolate me from my family as well, and I finally got back to my life where my friends were still there after 7 years of not talking to me, and I finally had people who were filling me up. I really felt like I had arrived in a much better place. And I was very happy and feeling good about myself for the first time in many, many years. But at the same time, every time I looked in the mirror, all of my self-worth went out the window because I was sitting at 400 pounds when I got out of my marriage, actually, 416 pounds. And it just totally ruined any happiness or self-worth that I had because I just felt so disgusted with myself. And even though I felt good about myself and my life, I was still eating compulsively and not really dealing with my feelings of everything I had been through and just anything in general. I have allowed anxiety and fear to control me a lot in my life, and I have allowed food to be what I use to just hide away. And so I found Program, and I have started working the steps. I'm currently on step 4, and I'm really starting to face a lot of my own truth and my feelings for the first time in years. And it is so cathartic and important and vital to me, and I am so grateful that I found this program. So even in a time in my life when I felt like I had arrived, I definitely still needed to find this program and to find a relationship with my higher power and do the work in order to heal and become the healthiest version of myself that I can be. So with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much, Eliza L. from Ohio. And Diane H., you're up next. Can you let us know where you're calling from?
Good morning. This is Diane H. I'm calling you from Alabama, recently moved from Florida, very grateful, compulsive overeater, and grateful to be in recovery today, one day at a time. When I listened to the reading, I never moved physically as a deep and strong compulsive overeater. I just moved from different program to program, different food plans, different diets, because I thought I needed a diet until I came into the rooms. But there was never any peace. I never had peace because I always knew if I lost weight, I began to realize I'll just gain it back. And I started to have the hopeless feelings. And coming into the room saved my life one day at a time. Going through the process, what it took for me to learned that this is a spiritual program, and what I needed was spiritual, and it was not a diet. It was not a physical, the physical fix didn't work, and it didn't stay. I could stop eating, but I couldn't stay stopped. And I knew that it was coming again a day when I'd pick up and start the crazy behaviors again. So by the grace of God, you know, after years of just keep coming back and working through the process, and picking up habits of trusting in a power greater than myself instead of turning to food. And thank you for allowing me to share. I pass.
Oh, thank you, Diane H. from Alabama. And we can probably get one more. One more. Who wants to share? Who wants to take a 3-minute share?
I can share. I can share.
Who is this?
This is Harry B.
Harry B? All right, Harry,
yeah.
Where are you calling from?
Los Angeles, headed, I guess, back to Michigan, not really sure. I just want to share with you.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I just want to share with you, I feel that, you know, growing up as a child, you know, my parents, you know, they tried their best with me, but I think my father was overly critical of me and my mother just didn't understand psychology, and they tried their best. They weren't bad parents, but for some reason
by the time I was 16, I realized I had conflicts about success, and I felt like I had to make any kind of success come to me through hardship, and I had to put obstacles in my way to success. So it really just screwed up everything in my entire life. It made me scared of my own mind, my own subconscious mind. I thought I was out to get myself, and it just did everything to me, you know, with regard to work and education and even my weight. So, like, if I would lose weight, then I would feel like I didn't deserve to lose the weight. I would gain the weight back, and I wouldn't be comfortable with, you know, weight loss. So I always felt like I was out to get myself, and I just have to realize that this is all coming from my childhood, and that I have to forgive myself because I'm not to blame. It's not my fault, and I have to love myself. I've gone through nothing but hardship throughout my life. Whether I'm losing jobs or I have a lot of talent, but I keep getting in my own way because I don't like myself. And I just have to learn to forgive myself because it's not my fault. Thank you.
Well, Harry, thank you so much. We're really glad you're here. We got time for someone to take 2 minutes. 2 minute share. Who would like to share?
Elizabeth C., California.
All right, Elizabeth, go for it.
Hi. I'm in Los Angeles. And, it's like this working hard all the time. Creating such a overwhelmingness feeling in me. And then I find that my life is unmanageable. So it's circulatory. It's just around and round and round, and I eat because of it. But things are much better now. And I notice that I'm a binger, and that whatever food that I get that I can binge on, sure enough, if I bring it in the house, I'm going to do that. So it is cathartic, because when I measure and when I just trust in my higher power, that it'll be laid out before me, and that what is mine will be in my lap, will come from my higher power, not from my doing. Because my doing without my higher power, it's not to say that I don't have a part in it. I absolutely do. But it's a co-creation with my higher power. And the food just aligns with that. It's like a sacrifice, so to speak, to say no to myself. And it's just very interesting. Life is, you know, without the binging, without the food, life is difficult. It is hard to get through. But I'm trudging this road of happy destiny, and I have my fellows, you guys, you know, I can always show up. And it is, it's very slow moving, but things are changing. It's, and I would never quit, you know, I'm going to keep showing up and keep coming back. Life is what happens when I'm busy making plans, so I just focus on today. Like, what do I need to do today? I don't even ask myself. I just try to flow with my higher power, and I try to do my food well. And with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.
Perfect. Perfect timing. Thank you so much. All right. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Sherry Z, can you please read a vision for you?
Yes, thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, visionaries. I'm on page 164, and this is a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us.
We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.